from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There are so many names that are going to come up in connection with the Kings this offseason. Malik Monk, obviously, awaiting his decision, which will not come for another couple of months here. But you're going to hear every name from Paul George to Jimmy Butler, who came up in the chatty house, who we will talk about, to Brandon Ingram, who came up over the weekend, because there was a report, I believe, from The Athletic that the Pelicans are not going to extend Brandon Ingram and instead are going to look to move him for another superstar to pair along Zion Williamson. So they are committing long-term to Zion, conceivably committing long-term to Zion this summer, and getting Brandon Ingram out of the mix. Let's forget financials and what it would take to get him. We'll do all of that here in a second. How do you feel about the fit for Brandon Ingram with the Kings? Just with the roster, let's pretend he is picked up and dropped onto their roster as is.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. Like, I like Brandon Ingram as a player. I'm a little leery about his injury issues, just like everybody else should be. He's got a one-year deal remaining. He's extension eligible this summer. And I'm always concerned with how much is a player like that going to cost. And what does he look like on your team? So I think the problem is, if you had Brandon Ingram on a two-year deal, you could conceivably have him on your squad, assess what he looks like on your squad, and then extend him accordingly, right? Use your what you now know. You need to collect more data on what he would look like on your team before giving him just a massive, like, $200 million extension. I'm not sure that he's that player, and that's always been my question with him. He's young. He fits the player arc. He's 26. He'll be 27 in September, so before the season starts, which is right in line with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis turned 28 late last week. But I'm always, like, I think he fits. He's the type of guy who can create for himself. He's the type of guy that can shoot over players. I just worry that he's not always, like, fully engaged. And that's tough, because there's a reason why that team flames out every year, and part of it is because Zion is always hurt, but part of it is also because Brandon Ingram isn't able to, in certain situations, elevate himself and you know, take the next step. And I think he's probably a really good second/third, like, as far as, like, best
scoring
players.
Scoring options,
he's going to be your second scoring option, right? But I also think, like, if you're looking at best players, it would still, if he were to join the Kings, I would still have it be Fox, Sabonis, and then Ingram with Keegan Murray being the fourth. I think if there's a way to get him and there's a way to upset your top three and push Keegan Murray to number four, and then if you're able to get Malik Monk back, now Monk is your five, now you're cooking, right? That's going to be an exceptional team. It should be, at least. But there are also the issues, like, you know, he doesn't play a full season ever. And, you know, even this year, he didn't get to the 65 games. He finished with 64, but it's, you know, 45, 55. He is a little injury prone. And I also don't think he's the 24.7 points per game he was last year as much as he is more closer to maybe the 22.7 mm-hmm. he was a year before that. So, I think he's a really good player. I don't think he'll age well just because he hasn't been able to stay on the court already.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a concern. And also my other concern is just the sheer dollar amount you're going to have to give him in an extension.
It's going to be a lot of money.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're talking like a $35 million a year guy, that's one thing. But if you're talking, you know, a 4-year 200,
right,
that's a lot more money. And that constricts who you are moving forward for a long time. So
I love the idea with Brandon Ingram as particularly in a crunch time situation where you need, you know what, hey, forget the offense. This is going to be De'Aaron Fox. He's got the ball in his hands. He's breaking down the defense. I think they need a second go-to guy in those situations. And having another player like Brandon Ingram who's going to create his own shots, he can shoot over basically any defender in the league. He actually plays some defense when he's dialed in on that end. He can be a good defender. Like, all in theory, that's great. My biggest question is, when the Kings are running their offense, is he relegated to the corner? Is he executing dribble handoffs? Are teams going to be scared of him as a three-point threat coming off that dribble handoff?
Mm-hmm.
Is he hanging out on the wing? Is he in the dunker spot? Like, what is he? That's where my questions come in and how exactly he would look. I think there would be some work to do offensively to really get him into the flow because it is so Sabonis Fox dominant. I wonder how Ingram would, one, take to that, and two, how he would be integrated, because I don't think he's taken DHOs and shooting off of them.
Well, I think he probably could do that. You know, he's a smart basketball player. He's actually a very, very talented player.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also, like, if you had him and Keegan Murray as your starting forwards, the versatility, the switchability there would be incredible. I think it would probably slow the growth of Keegan as an offensive player.
No doubt.
And, you know, you're looking at a guy who basically would probably cap out at 17, 18 points a game just because he's not going to get the volume of mm-hmm. shots that you would hope. But I also think that there's a world in which Keegan Murray becomes, you know, equal to or greater than Brandon Ingram as a player.
Sure.
And that's for a couple of, I don't think Keegan's going to average 24.5 points a game at some point in his career. He could, mm-hmm. but I think Keegan is a better defender, a better fit in your system.
Yeah.
But you need that other element, which is, you know, the playmaker, the guy who can actually attack and take people off the dribble, because that's the modern NBA. And again, you look at Ingram at 5.7 assists per game this year, 5.8, 5.6. He's a guy who can make plays for others. And so there is that other element mm-hmm. that the Kings lack when we talked about, you know, losing 25 points per game from Herter and Monk.
Mm-hmm.
But you also lost 7.7 assists when those two went down.
Yeah.
And the team just could not create for Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. So I would be intrigued to see what he looks like in a two-man game with Sabonis, and I would be intrigued as what he looks like running alongside De'Aaron Fox on breaks and stuff. I think you could actually find something really good there, but I think it's going to be very, very difficult to be competitive when chasing a player like that.
Right, and that's where all of this kind of turns.
Yeah.
Because you talked about this world where, yeah, hey, Malik Monk comes back and you're putting him alongside Keegan Murray because that's what we're doing. Hey, how does he fit? Just forget who's there, who's not. How does he fit with the Kings specifically? But I think the big thing that sticks out to me with Brandon Ingram specifically is in that report over the weekend, it was that the Pelicans are looking for another star to pair with Zion Williamson. And to me, that says, yeah, hey, whatever makes the money work, Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes or Chris Duarte or whoever, whatever makes that money work isn't what they're looking for. They're not looking to just dump Brandon Ingram. They're looking to move him for a big piece, which is where I think Keegan Murray would have to be on the table, which is where I think this ends.
Okay. I don't disagree with you there. Like, they would love to get their hands on Keegan Murray, but I think one of the biggest reasons why they're looking to move Ingram is because they don't want to pay him, and mm-hmm. they want to pay Trey Murphy. And right. so they have this issue that they have a younger player who plays more games, who's more reliable,
mm-hmm.
who's developing very quickly at the same position. And they're like, okay, it might open the door. Now, they have an issue that Valanciunas is a free agent, and they're going to have to figure out how to replace the center position moving forward. And they don't believe he's the guy, because we saw that at the deadline where they were already kind of pushing the button on this exact thing, where we saw conversations where they were trying to pitch Brandon Ingram or one of these players to the Cavs for Jared Allen. I'm going to guess that that's where they're going to go again. I don't even think it's at the Kings. It's not that they don't have like the talent to trade or the draft mm-hmm. capital to trade to get Ingram. It might be very specific that they need a center and you don't have a center. And there's a possibility.
So you're willing to deal.
Yeah. So there's a possibility to get into a three-way trade for sure,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you're able to take on Ingram and they're able to get a center that makes sense for them. And you're able to like give draft capital to a team that mm-hmm. is looking to reset or something.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's extremely complicated. And I think it's going to be difficult for the Kings to be competitive trying to chase him.
I agree. Yeah. I'm right there with you. And I think you just explained the Pelicans are looking to move on from Brandon Ingram because they want to commit to Trey Murphy. They like his development at the same position.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that paying Brandon Ingram is going to get in the way of Trey Murphy.
Yes.
Could you not substitute that exact same conversation with Keegan Murray's name instead of Trey Murphy?
Yeah. I mean, totally. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. That if you're the Kings, you're going to run into the same problem they are.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem. No one wants to be, we keep saying this, no one wants to be the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
They basically, like, you know, Thelma and Louise the thing off a cliff.
It's crazy.
You know, bringing in all these guys thinking that they had a team that could go win it.
It's insane.
And bringing in Bogdanovich and Gallinari and all these players in one offseason.
Going to the conference finals is the worst thing that could have happened to the Hawks.
Totally. And everyone around the, like, you don't want to be that team mm-hmm. because then they have to peddle their players for pennies, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's happened down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Kings are... They have to have a 1-year plan, but they have to have a 2-year plan and a 5-year mm-hmm. plan. All of these things have to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, the cap's going to go up, but it's only going to go up 10% a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like you're just going to have like this moment where all this money is available. It may mean something different for the luxury tax
mm-hmm.
for sure. But I still think that the Kings are going to, you know, they've got to be cognizant of what every move they make today means for them 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. And you always say the Jerry Reynolds phrase, if you have a 5-year plan, you don't have a plan.
Yeah, you have no plan at all.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not to say you need to have a 2, 3, 4, 5-year plan, meaning you don't have a plan for now. That's flexible down the road.
Yeah.
You have to be, malleable as circumstances change.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that if somebody wants to make the argument that, yeah, the Kings, everything should be on the table, they should try for a championship this year, I guess. But that is not proof conducive to winning. So I think that the plan this year has to be, we've talked about this a million times, staying the course as much as humanly possible. There's going to be a little bit of deviation, mm-hmm. but doing something like, yeah, hey, let's bring in Brandon Ingram and ship out Keegan Murray, that doesn't track with either now or the next 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Well, that, and you have to look at Ingram is going into his third contract, right? And the difference is that Keegan is going into his second contract. So even if Keegan becomes who everyone thinks he can be, and he takes this massive leap and the Kings give him a full extension,
mm-hmm.
like not this summer, but next summer, you're still looking at basically a starting salary of $30 million. That's not the case with Ingram. Ingram is on a much higher scale deal because he's older and because he's mm-hmm. in his third contract. So again, $200 million isn't off the table at all mm-hmm. versus $140 million. So again, one player is much more affordable. And sort of to tie this into like how the Kings, you know, you have to have a 1-year plan, you have to have a 2-year plan, you have to have a 3-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake, the Kings last offseason, when they decided, even the year before, when they decided to trade for for Kevin Huerter, mm-hmm. and then they decide to sign Harrison Barnes to his extension, his 3-year extension.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look that both of those deals end the day that Keegan Murray's new contract starts.
Yeah.
So no matter what, you're going to have roughly $38, $39 million falling off the books the day that Keegan Murray's $30 million mm-hmm. contract like kicks in. And so there's always this give and take. There is a long-term and a short-term plan mm-hmm. with all of these players, and that's how you team build. I mean, you can't just go all in because then you run into this moment where you can't afford the talent that you have. And mm-hmm. if you can't afford it, it's going to be $200 million in payroll. And sure, you can sign your own guys to extensions and use the Larry Bird clause, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you're pushing yourself so far into the luxury tax and the new rules, the first apron, the second apron, they're so constrictive
yeah.
that you're going to end up giving up first round picks. And you know the second apron is, I think it's $17.5 million above the luxury tax. So the luxury tax is $172. That means the second apron is going to be at like $189.5.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings could conceivably get to that. Like without even, I mean, not without even trying, but they could conceivably get to that, not maybe this offseason, but next offseason, where mm-hmm. they went all in right now and then had to pay a guy like Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, you got to pay this guy and this guy and this guy. And that's not where you want to be unless you're a true contender and you have a team that is great and you're going to get a huge amount of that money back by going deeper and deeper and deeper into the playoffs. And that's tough.
And that's where my problem with Brandon Ingram arises. I don't think he's bad. I think he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's a $50 million a year player.
Yeah.
And I think that the level that you need to get to with your roster around Brandon Ingram is higher than his salary would allow you to afford. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if you're paying him 50, it makes it really hard to build a team around him that can win a title.
Well, the problem is you're paying him 50, you're paying Fox 50, 60, 70, mm-hmm. and you're paying, you know, Sabonis 40, 45, right. 50. There's a moment where you can't do it anymore. Where
right, you and now you're bringing in these minimum scale guys who probably shouldn't be playing NBA minutes, who are starting.
Well, it goes from like a guy like Keon Ellis not just being like a nice find, but being like a complete necessity for yes. you to survive. And that's what, you know, right now it's a good story, but if he's like your only option and like that's what he's got to be great,
mm-hmm.
then that makes it a lot more complicated to improve and to, you know, kind of move forward.
I'm adding Brandon Ingram to the list of players I am out on for the Kings.
Okay.
Like, not because of what he does on the court, like what he does between the lines. I totally get it. But A, I do have questions about what he would look like in their offense and if he would be fine if he is not touching the ball as often as he might like.
Mm-hmm.
And B, you have to factor in all the financial stuff that comes with it. And when you start looking at, okay, this year, okay, maybe they're better. Maybe they're 50 plus wins with Brandon Ingram. And maybe they're making a little noise in the playoffs. But 2, 3, 4 years down the road, as we start to look ahead, is that the best move? And I just don't know if potentially getting to the second round is worth that.
Yeah, I think it's tough. But I'd also like... Like when we talk about Brandon Ingram and you're saying, you know, I don't know if I want to pay him 40, 50 million bucks a year. It's kind of why I keep like just like crushing any hopes of going out and getting Zach LaVine. Like Zach LaVine doesn't make any sense to the Kings because of that. Because number one, he's always injured.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, it's just the financial. He's not worth the contract that he's paid.
That's right.
There's no way to build a team around it.
If Zach LaVine was making $15 million a year,
yeah,
great.
25. You know,
the
Kings tried to sign him to a four, they gave him an offer sheet at 4-year, $82 million a few years ago. Like, that is where he's reasonable.
Yeah.
It's when he got this next contract that was like ridiculous. And
they maxed him, right?
Yo, they maxed him. Yeah. I mean, he's making, like, there's a point where he's making over $50 million bucks. And it's like, look, that's just not conducive to team building.
That's crazy.
Especially for a guy who does not get, like, either doesn't get to the playoffs, his team doesn't get to the playoffs, or he doesn't play in the playoffs because he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just too many question marks about a player like that. Makes it tough.
And that's where, so somebody in the, I believe it was it Tom L in the, oh no, Joey Griggs in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 said, what's a realistic trade for Jimmy Butler to the Kings. And that's another one. That's another one where, I love the idea. Like, having a guy like Jimmy Butler would be great for the Kings now and long term, just from a mindset perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that you are making yourself significantly better given what you would need to give up to acquire Jimmy Butler.
Well, and even if you did make yourself better, you're making yourself better for such a short amount of time, and you're going all in on a player who, number one, does not fit your style of play at all. No. Although that's okay. I mean, Jimmy Butler is a very, very talented player, but you're also looking at a player. This is like short-term gratification.
He turns 35 before the start of next season.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense for a team like the Kings. That's going all in, as in, we're going to win a title this year. And if you were a team that made it to the second or third round of the playoffs and Jimmy Butler is a potential add, then okay, maybe he does get you over mm-hmm. the top. Playoff Jimmy gets you over the top mm-hmm. and you're this team that like could win it all. But I don't think that that's the case. I mean, that's you're not that team yet. And that's a problem.
Just a reminder, the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler on their roster, 44 wins last year, 46 this year. And they had to get into the playoffs in both instances via the play-in. In both instances, they lost the first play-in game. And they made their little run to the finals last year. That was a lot of fun. But did anybody think they were going to beat Denver?
I did not.
I didn't.
No.
And Jimmy Butler is incredible in the postseason. And I understand he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I just don't. If he was 30, maybe.
Yeah, it's
like
just,
he turns 35 before the start of next year.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's really tough to see a world in which that isn't just like putting a Band-Aid on something and hoping that it works. And then even if it does work, you're talking about one and done. Mm-hmm. You're talking maybe two and done. And mm-hmm. and I don't know if it works to the point where you can win a championship. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, would you do it all to win one championship? Maybe you would.
Definitely.
Yeah, but especially since you haven't won one since like 1951.
I would if you told me there were moves the Kings could make that would win them the title this year and then put them in purgatory for the next 10, I would do it immediately.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Without hesitation.
I would agree with you, but at the same time, like, it's got to be the right move for a player that is the perfect, you know, and again, we're talking about a guy who not only is he 35, but for the most part, he plays between like 55 and 60 games a year. Oh, yeah.
He hasn't played more than 65 games since he left Chicago in the 2016-17 season.
Yeah, the only time he's only played over 70 twice in his career.
Yeah, and once as a 23-year-old when he didn't start for Chicago.
Yeah, that's wild.
No, so I and the whole, like, I would do it to win a title this year, that's in a hypothetical world where somebody can guarantee me a championship.
Yeah.
But that's obviously not reality. And I don't think Jimmy Butler, again, because you're acquiring him via trade, what you would be giving up and then bringing him in, mm-hmm. I don't think you're not a title contender to me at that point.
Now, see, I would say that's where with Ingram, I could see that if you had this team gelled together and if your top five players are Fox, Sabonis, Ingram,
Keegan
and Malik Monk.
That's interesting.
I could be a potential like championship contender,
mm-hmm.
but and wouldn't just be 1 year. As long as you were able to lock up Ingram long term, you could conceivably see that being like a 5 year run where you mm-hmm. got a shot,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's no guarantees.
Yeah.
There's just not.
All right, Brandon Ingram. I'm sure this is not the last time his name will come up.
No.
No. I'm sure it's not the last time Jimmy Butler's name will come up, or Paul George, who apparently Steve Ballmer wants to keep the band together. I don't know.
All right.
We'll get to that later. That seems to be the theme of the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into it right now because you got a break in a second, so we'll talk about it next. But the amount of teams, because we're trying to pick out the teams. Okay, this team fell short this year, that team fell short this year. Who's on that roster that the Kings might be able to acquire if they're looking to blow it up mm-hmm. or get some cap relief? Who are some players the Kings could, you know, take off their hands and improve their roster without giving up too much? It's kind of going to be the theme of the offseason for us. But then there are so many teams that we're like, oh yeah, they should be blowing it up. And then you find out like, nope, not their plan.
Mm.
And that's really, really interesting. We will talk about that because team building in the NBA is hard, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.